Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League and the Maoist Internationalist Movement.
Mumia Abu-Jamal gets a stay of execution, but the movement must maintain steam. A new study adds nails in Dare's coffin, and a South Carolina prisoner writes that prisons destroy family.
The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more black men to prison than college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown.
Former Black Panther and death row prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal received a stay of execution on October 26, 1999. This stay gives the courts time to hear Mumia's appeal that 29 specific violations of his constitutional rights should cause a new trial to be granted. This stay was entirely expected and should not be taken as a major victory. Mumia was framed for the righteous 1981 killing of a Philly cop engaged in an act of police brutality. Someone else killed the cop, but the American system of injustice, backed up by the fascist anti-crime fever among the white, petty bourgeois and labor aristocracy, demands that someone die for the killing of a pig. These fascists wish to kill Mumia because he's a leader who generates public opinion against the system. His political views, including his agreement with Mao Zedong that political power flows from the barrel of a gun, was used as evidence against him in his trial and in the imposition of the death penalty. On October 13th of last year, Pennsylvania Governor Ridge signed a death warrant for Mumia, knowing full well that a habeas corpus appeal was about to be filed. With the state portion of appeals finished and the much quicker federal courts involved, Ridge stepped in to increase the political pressure on Mumia. So while the stay was expected, the criminal injustice system is steaming ahead, on track, to murdering this revolutionary leader of the people. While this legal struggle goes on in the unjust courtroom, we must build an even stronger movement in the streets. While few judges will be as biased as the original trial judge, the whole system is run by the pigs hell-bent on murdering Mumia. It is only the people in the streets that can force the courts to look at the facts and set Mumia free. People who see the injustice in Mumia's case must take the issue further than the liberation of just this one man. While the injustice system is holding 1.8 million people, we cannot afford to just talk about just this one. In a system where imprisonment is a political tool of the imperialists, all prisoners are political prisoners. The fight to free Mumia Abu-Jamal must be a part of the fight to overthrow the system of imperialist injustice. This is an essay by Mumia Abu-Jamal entitled, A Violent World. With Mumia's access to the media limited, this essay is read by the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League. See for yourself why the United Snakes wants to silence this revolutionary leader, Mumia Abu-Jamal.
A Violent World for Violent Youth by Mumia Abu-Jamal. For three millennia, our main social hypothesis has been singularly unsuccessful in reducing the level of violence. That hypothesis is the claim that the moral and legal way of thinking about and responding to violence, by calling it evil, forbidding it, and punishing it, will prevent violence, or at least bring it under control. 3,000 years should be an adequate length of time to test any hypothesis. Dr. James Gilligan, Violence, Reflections of a National Epidemic. The psychic ripples of Littleton, Colorado continue to radiate out across the nation as cases continue to arise of students either calling in threats to their school or writing threatening communications on the internet. Students have been either arrested or expelled for bringing weapons to school or threatening to do so in states across the nation. The event reflects the heightened fear and attention of school authorities, but it also reflects the higher incidence of threats coming from students who sense the vulnerability of their most hated adversary, school, and are reacting to this new sensation. The reaction of state and federal politicians is as ridiculous as it is depressing. More cops, tougher gun laws, more security cameras, and more metal detectors in America's schools. None of these things go to the heart of what actually happened in Columbine High School, nor will it likely prevent a depressed, deadly, and utterly suicidal youth bent on destruction. Indeed, there have already been school killing cases where young boys laid in wait on the outside of their schools and slew students as they left. Which of these political solutions would have solved this type of problem? What Littleton, Colorado reflects is something akin to a very real sickness of the soul, a coldness that comes from growing up young, unloved, depressed, and in a permanent funk of despair. It is a nastiness that is distinctly American. When I heard that the shooters of Colorado were young boys who felt that they were humiliated by school jocks, I thought of Gilligan's admonition on the impact of humiliation as a cause of violence. I have yet to see a serious act of violence that was not provoked by the experience of feeling shamed and humiliated, disrespected and ridiculed, and that did not represent the attempt to prevent or undo this loss of face. No matter how severe the punishment, even if it includes death. For we misunderstand these men at our peril if we do not realize they mean it literally when they say they would rather kill or mutilate others.